Amen. 2 Peter. Turn there in 2 Peter, chapter 3. We began this last Wednesday night dealing with an issue that for the longest time I never really knew anything about it. I didn't know that there was a big disagreement over this, and some people brought it to my attention not in a good way. They brought it to my attention as if I was teaching or preaching some form of false doctrine and that I was mixing things up in the Bible. And one person even invited me to step down from the pulpit and let somebody else come up here that was qualified to teach. And I said, thank you, but no thank you to that. And I said, amen. And so anyway, I have, if you don't know me by now, I have a deep respect for what the Bible says. I've just been around enough and I've been lied to enough that I don't trust people. I don't trust them. I don't trust, and this is sad to say, I don't trust any preachers now anymore. Okay? Even men that I just looked up to in my younger years, I've learned that they just had some serious issues. And so anyway, I'm telling you that tonight, because I'm telling you, don't take my word for it. Don't take my word for anything. I have this issue that I'm dealing with, started it last Wednesday night, going to deal with it tonight, I'm going to move forward until we're just clear of it, is probably, to me, the most important issue. I can talk about a lot of things that I think are in the Bible. I can talk about knowing the flood, and I can talk about, you know, when I think maybe the rapture is going to take place with this and this and so on. And did Adam and Eve have a belly button? Where did Cain get his wife? And was there more than two dogs on the ark? And I mean, we can talk about issues like that all the time. And you'll get this person over here saying this and this person over here saying that. But to me, there is no more important issue than what is the gospel and what is it that saves men's souls from eternal punishment in the lake of fire for all of eternity? What is that that saves men's souls? And every cult in the world that is semi-based on this Bible is going to have the gospel wrong. The Jehovah's Witness do not have the gospel right. They're not right about it. Their gospel is a gospel of performance. It is a gospel of works. It is a continual you must do and you must keep doing, or you cannot reach. In fact, more than likely, to most Jehovah's, and I nailed Brady on this one time back when he was a Jehovah's Witness. I said, are you the 144,000? No, I'm not. And then what in the world are you doing? If you already know you're not going to be in that number when the saints go marching in, why are you doing this? And it just didn't make sense. I talked to Bradley years ago back when he was a Mormon. And I said, Bradley, I just want to ask you. I said, I've been reading, you know, Joe Smith and Brigham Young and whatever he says. And I said, I've been reading these guys. And I said, do you believe in obedience is for salvation? He said, that's exactly what I believe. I said, have you been obedient this week? And he got real quiet. And I said, how about this last month? In fact, let me ask you this. I said, when do you think in your life that you're going to attain to a level of strict obedience to everything God said? He couldn't answer it. Their gospel is not right. Okay? The Roman Catholic gospel is not right. And any other group, I don't care who it is, I don't care what their church is, how big their church is, or their denomination. If you don't get the gospel correct, if that's wrong, somebody's going to have to answer for that. And I have to stand before God one of these days in a somewhat different position than the rest of you and give an account for what came out of my head to not only to you people, but all you watching online, and we want this all over the world. I have to give an account for that. I have to know that if I say this is how it is, this is thus saith the Lord, this is how it is. I've been wrong on different things here and there in my life, but to say that somebody's wrong about the gospel and about what it is that saves men from eternal hell, fire, and damnation, that's the biggest thing there is to get right or to get wrong. Would you agree with that? Say amen. And so the issue that has been brought to me, and I'm just kind of going with this direction, is it, are there two different, quote-unquote, gospels, the word gospel means good tidings, are there two different separate methods of salvation, one for the Gentiles at this time and one for Jews, let's say in the time to come. Is there a gospel of grace through faith now and then a gospel of grace plus their works a little bit later on? That's what I was told that I got wrong. And I've tried to question people, okay, now you say that, now show me that in the scriptures. And what I get is a lot of reasoning. What I get is sent to this website or watch this guy's video over here, and I hear a lot of the claims that these people have made. And when I hear it, I go to the scripture and I find out from the Bible that they're wrong. And if they're wrong, and if the Bible says one place, two places, three places, the exact opposite of what somebody else said, I have to believe what the Bible says and forget them. Okay? But here, the issue, and here's how they do it. A lot of these guys all say they believe the King James Bible. Their issue is, If I give them a reason from Scripture why I think they're wrong, their comeback is, what you just read does not belong to us, does not pertain to us, and so therefore we can exclude it. And here's what this is. We have our doctrine, we have our belief, and any verse in the Bible that contradicts us doesn't apply. Okay? We take it and put it over here for somebody else, therefore our doctrine's still right. Does that make sense to anybody? Doesn't make sense. Okay? So here's what brought that up. 2 Peter chapter 3. He said, verse 15, an account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. Even as our beloved Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. Now I want you to underline that. Because here's what I'm told. I went over this last Wednesday. I was told that Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st, 2nd Thessalonians, 1st, 2nd Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Titus and Philemon, those books and those books alone are directed to us Gentiles who are living at this time, and that is the only place we can get our doctrine about salvation and the rapture and everything else from that location. Anything outside of that was not written to us, and it was written to the Jews. They say Paul was not written to the Jews. It was written to us. And so Peter, James, John, Revelation. Yeah. The book of Revelation, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, and all of the Old Testament is not for us. It is for the Jews. But look at what Peter said. Peter said, verse 15, account the longsuffering of our Lord as salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. Here's their point. They're saying that the people that Peter was writing to was only the Jews, and the Jews do not get their doctrine from Paul. Peter just denied that. He says that the people that Peter's writing to, Paul wrote to those same people. So this doesn't match that. Does that make sense to everybody? Okay? That's not what Peter said. Peter said this. You guys pray for me. Can't remember who it was. Somebody wanted me to make a teaching for Roman Catholics. And not like God hates Roman Catholics. Nothing like that. Okay? And I just was praying about how to do it. And I think I know how I'm going to do it. Because I know Roman Catholics, they revere the Saint Peter and Saint Paul and Saint John. They revere these men. Okay? So I'm going to direct this. When I get it put it together, don't know when. When I get it put together, it's going to be toward Roman Catholics and say, this is what Saint John said. This is what Saint Paul said. And this is what Saint Peter. In other words, the Vatican says this. Vatican says we can have statues all over the place. But St. Paul said, that's how I'm going to do it. You pray for me about that, all right? I can put it together and make it right, all right? But anyway, it's the same idea. Peter was saying that Paul wrote his letters to the same people Peter was writing his letters to. And then it says in verse 16, as in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things. What things? Same things Peter was talking about. You know what Peter was saying? Paul and I are in perfect agreement. There is no difference between he and I. Peter would probably tell you, I was dead wrong on an issue, and it was Paul that came to me and straightened me out. I love Paul. Paul's my buddy. We're not fighting one another. So anyway, he said, in which some things are hard to understand, which they that are unlearned, and unstable rest, that means to twist, W-R-E-S-T, as they do also the other scriptures under their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace. You see, the doctrine that teaches that Peter has a different gospel, it is a gospel that mixes grace, which is unmerited favor, with merits, which is contradictory. Grace means I give it to you free of charge. Salary means I give it to you because you earned it. Those two are mutually exclusive ideas. You cannot mix those two. Hey, does that make sense? Okay? You either turn in a time card with 40 hours, but you work 48 hours, but you just felt like giving 8 hours of your time for the benefit of the company. It happens. Okay? And so you worked and you just gave that away. Hey, don't worry about it. Or you worked 40 hours, the boss paid you 40 hours, then he had you $150 in cash. And you say, what's this for? Nothing. You're a good guy, you're a good employee. I just want to give that to you. He didn't earn it. It was unmerited favor. Same kind of favor, John and Melissa, you give to those three children. How much have they earned so far? Yeah. Reg Kelly, bless his heart. I'd heard him preach this one time. I was there at the meeting, and he was preaching down in Arkansas. He's trying to get back because his son, Zach, was going to graduate the homeschool that they were in. He's going to have graduation service at the church. And he said, I've got this worked out. When I hand him the diploma, I'm going to hand him, here's 18 years worth of bills of food and water and housing. He's going to hand it to him. So now pay up, all right? But anyway, we don't charge our children. We don't charge our children. Amen. So anyway, so Peter is saying that Paul and Peter both they were like-minded, had the same idea and the same concept. So the question is, where do we get our doctrine from? Should we only just get it from what Paul said? And the Jews only should get it from Peter, James, John, the Gospels, and the Old Testament. And we kind of looked at this. I want to run through this very quickly. Let's see here. Where am I looking for? All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and so on. We covered that last week. Now I want to pick it up. I'm at the right place. Deuteronomy chapter 32. Now I want you to listen to what the Bible says. Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass, because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe ye greatness unto our God. So let me ask you a question. God is attributing His doctrine and His word as the rain. Does God only rain on one place and never on another? Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust. There's not a place in this world, except for desert, but even at one time those places were habitable, they had rain on them. But the rain comes down and it doesn't matter where it goes. It's the same rain going down. Let me give it to you like this, okay? I have in my body two lungs, one right hand, one left hand. You can see sort of like a right hand, left hand issue when it comes to, let's say, the Gentiles and Israel. I do believe that there is a difference in the people. Amen. We are not Jews. And Paul clearly teaches that we have been brought into the body of Christ, even though we've never been given the law. We weren't, our forefathers were not at Mount Sinai. Our father was not Abraham. And yet we've been grafted in. Israel is the natural branch and we are the wild branch. But we're both fitting into the same tree. So think about this. I have a lung on the right side of my body and a lung on the left side of my body. Now, my hand and the blood that's flowing through my arm is a recipient of the air that's going into my body, and my lungs are sending out to certain parts of my body. Where does my right arm get its air from? The right lung or the left lung? Does anybody know? Both. What about my left hand? Both. As I'm speaking to you, I have one mouth and yet I have two lungs supporting that. Which lung operates my vocal cords and my mouth? Both of them do. There is no difference between what parts of my body get air from what one lung or the other, or my voice coming out of me. It gets air from both of these huge windbags I've got. And I've got them in spades. I used to play the tuba, buddy. I know how to blow, man. Okay? And I can hold them notes for a long time. But both of my lungs provide the same air that comes out of my mouth, and there is no difference. And I got this up on the screen a little bit, but I want to ask you a question. When Philip met with the eunuch from Ethiopia, the eunuch was in his chariot and he was heading to Jerusalem. He was an Ethiopian Jew and he was headed to Jerusalem to worship. When Philip met him, he jumped in the chariot with him and he was reading something. Does anybody here know? What was he reading from? Isaiah. Isaiah 53. You get a free DVD for saying that. Okay? Which part of the New Testament did Philip carry with him when he was witnessing to this guy? He didn't. He didn't have anything. You know what he had? He had the book of Isaiah chapter 53. And the Bible tells you in Acts chapter 8 that Philip from that place taught him and preached him Jesus Christ. This eunuch was saved by what was written in the Old Testament. That's good, isn't it? I'm there. I dig it. All right. Let's move on. Isaiah 34, 16. Look at this. Seek ye out the book of the Lord. Now, which book of your Bible would that be? Be the whole thing. The Old Testament and the New Testament together. Seek ye out the book of the Lord and read. No one of these shall fail. Isn't that something? If God said it 4,000 years ago, it's going to happen. Here is David writing, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He wrote down and he said, they pierced my hands and feet, they part my garments and cast lots for my vesture. He wrote that down 1,000 years before they ever hung Jesus on the cross, and he nailed it. He got it all right. Amen? Seek ye out the book of the Lord and read. No one of these shall fail. None shall want her mate. God's establishing something for you. That if you read something out of, let's say, Peter, and you've been reading in the Old Testament, and you'll read something in Peter, and all of a sudden you'll go, wait a minute. Peter just said something, and I can remember that being somewhere in the Old Testament. This is why I say, study your Bible. I like the computer Bible. I like typing in words and seeking out words, things like that. But really, and the software that we have will let you like draw lines under certain, or draw like yellow. Some people use a highlighter in the Bible or whatever. But I like to draw lines in my Bible, because if I can't necessarily remember where something is, I know that I underlined it. And if you flip enough pages, you're going to find it. But here's what I'm telling you. You'll read the New Testament and you'll see the Old Testament in it. How many places out of the Old Testament did Paul quote from? Dozens, scores of them. What about Hebrews? I think Paul wrote Hebrews. How many times did Paul reference the Old Testament in the book of Hebrews alone? Most of Hebrews was from the Old Testament. Okay? So the Bible says, seek ye out the book of the Lord, none shall want her mate. If there's an ideology or a doctrine or some sort of prophecy or whatever mentioned in the Old Testament, it will have a mate. It will have something that it matches perfectly with. Here is Moses, and he sees the rock, and God tells him to smite the rock, and water comes out. Well, there's a mate to that. It's 1 Corinthians 10, because Paul now is telling you who that rock was. That rock was Christ. Amen? They're mated together. So, their idea of a of a dispensational gospel is that the Bible, especially from the Old Testament to Paul's writings, contradict one another. I was told by one of these guys that he said, I believe the King James Bible, but he said the Bible contradicts itself hundreds of times. And I just went, I can't fellowship with that. I can't hang with that. I can't go along with that because I don't believe it. I don't believe my Bible contradicts itself one. I believe there's contradictions up here, but not right here. No one of them shall want her mate. Psalm 119, 128. Therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. Now, you've heard me say that before, and I want to tell you why I hate false ways. False ways always put people in bondage. They always do. False gospels will always place yokes of bondage upon people. False gospels will always put a performance on you, a work of some kind. I don't care if it's a money that you got to pay, or an act that you have to perform, or a certain manner of lifestyle that you have to live. I don't care what it is. A false gospel will always place an undoable work on people. And I say undoable because there isn't a soul except Jesus Christ that ever kept every part of God's word. You and I are not doing it. Now, we don't do it. That's the provision of grace. Therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right. I believe that everything in this Bible counts as the precepts of God, counts as the law of God, the commandments of God, the statutes of God, and they're not contradictory to one another. Amen? Now, here is their version of what's called rightly dividing. It says, number one, in the age we live in now, only Paul's letters are to be used for doctrine of salvation, and I will put in here the doctrine of the end times, the translation or the rapture, and so on. You should only read Paul to know what's going to happen to you personally. And here's an example now of what they say. If you read Matthew chapter 24, here's what you'll see. You'll see a trumpet sounding and Christ appearing in the clouds and the saints being gathered together. You'll see that in Matthew 24. These people do not believe that that is our rapture. They say that was not to us. That was to Israel. That is not us. So therefore, our doctrinal statement stands because we've excluded that. Okay? There's a picture on the internet. You've probably seen it. It's going around Facebook. I've known about it for years. There is a rock, one of these big, huge rocks that they dug up from somewhere. I don't know where they got it from. It's supposed to be like, 100 million years old. It has a fossilized pickaxe in it. Now, it's an old one, not anything modern. I mean, it's old. You can tell it's an old, old iron and wood tool. But the rock is supposed to be 100 million years old. It has a fossilized pickaxe in it. What does that tell you? You know what they do? You know what the geologists, the evolutionists do with that? What? I don't see any rock. I don't see anything. Museums will take stuff like this in and they'll bury it. No, it will never see the light of day because it doesn't prove evolution. It doesn't prove millions and billions of years. It contradicts it. It's the same idea. When you see here Paul saying, the trumpet's going to sound, Christ is going to gather us all together unto Him, He's going to appear in the clouds. And then you see the same thing mentioned in Matthew 24. They'll say, that's not us. That's not us. That belongs to somebody else. That's what they do. Only Paul's letters are to be used. Number two, none of the Old Testament is to be used for the doctrine of salvation. None of it. Number three, The four gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, are also to be excluded from the doctrine of salvation and the translation. One of their proponents, a guy who has a big name. And I will say this. I love the man. He has written a book defending the King James Bible. It's about that thick, and I've looked at portions of it, and he did a great job. But he has a book equally as thick on and his on how you rightly divide, and his statement was, not one of the four Gospels have anything to do with your salvation. They're not for you. They're not to you. And I heard him say that. I was going to listen to hear him out what he said. He said that at the beginning of the talk, and I just hit stop, and I'm going, I don't need to listen anymore. That ain't right. That is not right. And I have scripture to show you that it's not right. Number four, Acts, Peter, James, John, Hebrews, Jude, and Revelation are not to be used for doctrinal interpretation concerning salvation or the translation. And again, here's why. There are places all over the Bible that contradict their doctrinal statement. And if it contradicts their statement, obviously that has nothing to do with us. Because we can't be wrong on this issue. That's what they say. Since we cannot be wrong on this issue, therefore the Bible must be contradicting, it must belong to a different group of people in a different age, and it has nothing to do with us. And I just, when I'm hearing this, I'm going, and then I'm going, that doesn't make sense. Then we have the two gospel theory. And it says, because Peter was called the apostle to the Jews, and Paul the apostle to the Gentiles, this must mean that there are two separate gospels, or ways of salvation, one for the Jews, one for the Gentile Christians. Two different gospels. Now, I'm simple. I'm kind of getting out of my notes here, but in Galatians 1, it says, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto him, unto you, let him be accursed. I'm only allowed, if you're going to stick with just Paul, here's what just Paul said. Paul said, if anybody preaches a different gospel, you know what accursed means? You're not going to heaven. You're not from God. If you say that there's more than one gospel, you're not from God. Amen? And I could stop right here and say, that's it. We're done. Okay? But I'm going to pile it on. Okay? So he says, number one, to the Gentiles, it is a gospel of grace alone. To the Jews, it is a gospel that mingles works with faith and grace. Now remember what grace was. Grace was the boss gave you an extra $100 on your check. Why? He thinks you're a good guy, wants to keep you. It's just good business. The guys that are working, the guys that are making you money, give them a little extra. And they'll work for you. Amen? Amen. Sam Walton knew that. He knew that. He took those guys years ago that was driving his trucks and working in his stores, and he gave them a profit-sharing deal. And there's, Jimmy Carmichael, there's truck drivers right now that are multimillionaires because they got a piece of the Walmart company back in the early 70s when it was just taking off. And they're multimillionaires now. That's grace. That's unmerited favor. It was just, hey, you're a good guy. Amen? So if you have grace for salvation, you cannot have works. And if you have works for salvation, you cannot have grace. And Paul said that exact thing. If it is of works, then it is no more of grace. Amen? But that's what they say. So, to the Gentile, the gospel does not require repentance, perseverance, or continuation in faith unto the end. Does not require any of those. The Jews' gospel requires repentance, perseverance, and continuing in both works and faith. And here it is. These are the people who, if anybody even hints that somebody can lose their salvation, they'll jump 3 feet up in the air, scream and shout, and say, "You're a heretic! You don't lose your salvation!" Unless you're a Jew. That's what they say. And that makes me angry. Because if God loved anybody in this world, it was the Jews. And what they're telling you is, you get to go to heaven on no merit and no works whatsoever. But the very people that God called the apple of His eye, the very people that Jesus came to save, to begin with, God hates them so much that He's going to make them keep doing works until the day they die, and then He might decide to take them into heaven. I'm not buying it. It's not right, and I don't believe it. So let me show you this. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. And I mentioned this earlier, an account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul. Now, stop right here. Peter. Remember, Peter's supposed to have a different gospel. Peter just said that the long-suffering of God was salvation, and he said, even as Paul said it. So what did Peter just say? I'm telling you the exact same thing that Paul said. Do you see that? Okay. As our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. You never, ever saw Peter or heard Peter tell his people, don't read Paul. I'll tell you, I will say this out of fairness, there are varying degrees of this idea. Some of these guys I can kind of get along with. Some, I just go, you're in bad shape. Those that really promote this two gospel system, I don't like them. I don't have anything to do with them. And then there's a group that says, we only read what Paul said, and therefore, here's what this means for us. Number one, we do not believe in water baptism. That is not for us, and none of us are water baptized. Number one. Number two, we do not believe that God chastens us as His sons and corrects us. We do not believe that is for us. That is for Israel. Here's my thing with that one, Mike. What does Hebrews say about the people who will not let God chasten them? They're bastards and not sons. And so I'm just going, I'm out of here. Amen? It doesn't work, and it's not biblical. The source of doctrine according to Paul, and I'm going to close it down here. 2 Timothy 3:14, go ahead and turn there. I know we've dealt with this. And when we come here next week, we're going to look at where the Bible said you are to get your understanding from. And I could just make it simple, and I could say, read the whole Bible. But see, don't trust men. I've been preaching here. This will be, at the end of this year, will be my 20th year being pastor here. I'm telling you that I've said some things behind this pulpit that were not right. Okay? They're not right. And I'm telling you right now that I do not believe for a second that I have all of the right doctrine according to everything that's in the Bible. And what I'm going to tell you is, it's impossible for me to be right about everything. It's not possible, because God is true in every... God is not going to let men have 100% of all their doctrine right. Because then we would rely on men and not God. Your teacher is supposed to be the Holy Ghost. So what I'm telling you is, you take what I said and you go back to your Bible. Don't go back to the internet. Don't read the articles, because that's what I get sent to me to try to prove I'm wrong. Read this article. You'll find out how wrong you are. Send me verses. Okay? So 2 Timothy 3:14, but continue out thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. The holy scriptures. What lung was that? It's both of them. But in fact, if you think of it this way, here's Paul and Timothy living at a time when the collection of the New Testament was not even there. There were various letters written and so on. Paul had already written some things and so on, but it wasn't collected together. And so here, even as Timothy is a young man, he's reading the Old Testament. But here's Paul teaching him the New Testament doctrines. So what does Timothy have? He has the Old Testament written in the Scriptures, and he has the New Testament doctrine given to him by Paul. He's got both of them there. But Paul said the Holy Scriptures. Did not specify which one of them. He said the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is, present tense, given by inspiration of God, and is right now profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. And here's what I'm going to tell you, and we're going to dismiss. If you think you can find salvation by grace through faith in what Paul said, I guarantee you, you'll find it in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges. You'll find it in the Psalms. You'll find it all through Isaiah. You'll find it in the book of Daniel. You'll find it in Malachi. You'll find it everywhere in the Bible. Let me ask you a question. You believe Noah's in heaven right now? You believe Noah's in heaven? How? What does the Bible say about Noah before he ever put his hand to the wood to build an ark? Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And I've been told by these people, Ian, are you telling me that Noah believed in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ? Because that's the gospel. How could he believe in something like that? I don't know. It just says Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Oh no, Noah was saved by his own works, building the ark. No. God gave him the grace before he ever gave him the ark. Amen? Let's stand to our feet.